I've seen the Joshua tree, got down on my knees through the Virgin Mother of Prayer. A walk glass barefooted, stroll across the devil's hot coal. I've tried everything, I swear. But hey,
the Valley Rise Show. A very good morning to all of you. Very, very much appreciate you for listening. It is August 6th, and it is warm. It is warm. It is warm. 76 degrees currently in Fresno. 105 the expected high today. 69 that overnight low. And we remind you to go and download the app ESPN Fresno. That's the app. That's how you look it up. That's how you find it. It's easy. I was about to say a little phrase that I haven't said in a really long time, it's easy. It's easy. And once you download the app, you don't have to. You don't have to look up anything other than that. You just go straight to the app. You go to your app store right here. I'm doing it with you right now. You can go to your app store. You can go to your Google Play store. You then just look it up. Just hit right there, right in the bottom right corner for Apple users. It said search. You put ESPN. You put Fresno. You put enter. I misspelled it. I put a K on the end of it. I didn't even spell it right. And it's right there. The ESPN Fresno app right in front of you. And you can go there. You can open it. And when you open it, the ESPN Fresno logo right there off the top with our provider. You get a quick little ad. Trust me, I'm with you. Okay. I feel the same. I'm not going to say anything other than that. Okay, but then you can close that app, and then boom, right there. You see, as you can hear it behind me, but you can hear it right here. You open it, and bam, it's right there. And so you have the app, you push play, and you're listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo, and it's right there. The app shows you all of it. So just giving you a quick little re-up on that. And the reason I do that is because you can listen to every single Fresno State game this season right there on the ESPN Fresno app. Everyone, that is September 4th against USC at the LA Coliseum. That's September 12th, Valley Children's Stadium against Sac State at 7:30. What about on the road against San Jose State, the battle for the Valley rivalry? And hey, that's at 8 p.m. September 19th. You'll be able to listen to it here. Yeah, September 26th against Rice. Hey, that's it. Valley Children's Stadium. Guess what? Right here as well. October 3rd against Washington State. October 10th, Boise State. October 17th, San Diego State. That one's away. That's the Snapdragon Stadium. Oregon State, Utah State, Texas State, Colorado State. The Flex game, the championship game, You can listen to it on ESPN Fresno. You can go and tune in, and we are very, very grateful to that. So right back here to the schedule I just so nonchalantly began to throw through. And it's reminding you that game at 6 p.m. at the LA Coliseum in Los Angeles against the USC Trojans. You'll be able to listen to it here. But not only that, but it's a 6 p.m. kick. It's our first game of the season, and ours, I mean Fresno State's, and we're less than 30 days away from that beginning. And hey, Tomorrow we're going to be 4 weeks away, right? And it's just 4 weeks away from the beginning of the season. And for the Trojans and the Spartans, their season actually gets away 3 weeks from Saturday as they have a week zero game. Some of the games that are circled on this schedule for me, very clearly USC circled on the schedule. That is as tone setting can be. That is exactly what that is. And so USC, mighty important. There's a big circle right there. Just all right. And then you get a rivalry game, I think, that you have to have that circled on the schedule at San Jose State. Because if you're Fresno State, there's a chance that that one can propel you a little bit further. So you get that September 19th. October 10th, obviously, that game against Boise State is a huge rivalry game at Valley Children's Stadium. It's the day that they're going to honor, Ring of Honor, Logan Mankins. It is a huge one. October 10th, Boise State, that's a big one. Then the following week against San Diego State in San Diego, that is going to be a huge one. Then you're back against Oregon. It's just the way you look at the schedule. It is going to be a tough road to open the season for Fresno State in the Pac-12. But if Fresno State opening the season up at that top of the Pac-12, again, there is a very real consensus that Fresno State has a real probability and possibility at having a 3-1 record at the end of those four games. They are going to be favored in three of those four games before they begin their Pac-12 time. And it's not going to be easy. Their first game of the season in the Pac-12 or in the Pac-12 season, it is going to be against Washington State, one of the programs that people have currently in that either finishing above Fresno State or right next to Fresno State in the Pac-12. And then you get Boise State, again, the team that currently is the favorite to win the Pac-12. Boise State is. With the quarterback that they have, there is no QB competition for the Broncos, and that shows when everyone is putting together how they believe this season would go. And then you get San Diego State back on the road. So if you're the Dogs, it is going to be mightily important not only to win the games that are in front of you, play the games that are in front of you, but how you get to each game, I think, is going to be mighty important for Fresno State as well. Again, their season beginning September 4th against USC in the LA Coliseum. GoBulldogs.com, that is where you can go as well to go and buy tickets, go and get information on how you can buy tickets if you haven't done so. We are about to be a month away from the kickoff at Valley Children's Stadium against Sac State. If you haven't gotten your tickets to go watch the Bulldogs take on the Hornets, make sure you do that. So make sure you're paying attention for Fresno State and their scheduling. Again, GoBulldogs.com. And we have so many announcements that are going to be coming your way for this Fresno State program and for the Fresno State Bulldogs as the games get closer, as time gets closer, you're going to get a lot of new news from the Fresno State side. Like, there's a lot of things that I personally do know, and it's not very often, okay? Not very often that I'm in the know. There are things that we do know that I will tell you I'm very excited for the public to find out, because I think it's gonna drive mighty interest into the Fresno State Bulldogs this season. Now, with that getting and being said, Fresno State fall camp had gotten underway this past week. This week, to be very clear, just getting underway. And with that, very obviously, you have Phil Bonatti, who's been doing a great job of being out there, at Valley Children's Stadium, and out there to very much be involved and what they're doing at Valley Children's. Phil Bonatti has been out there and has been getting all the audio. Again, Matt Entz spoke to the media after day one, and Matt Entz, you know, he was doing Matt Entz kind of things, and he was as involved can be, and the team just looked pretty good. Now, some bad news did come out of the camp, just to kind of get started. You know, guard out, running back out, two guys out for season already, and just again, some of those were pretty known internally and just were waiting for confirmation. And Fresno State, I think, are currently in a good spot. It's the first couple of days of camp, and let's be clear, I think Coach Entz can be grateful to one thing, and that is that the temperature has abided, and that is has abided by making sure the Bulldogs kick off with some heat, because that is what makes the Bulldog teams, right? Makes them. I think it really has a big hand in it. And if we're sitting at 95, 97 degrees, we're like, come on. Like right now, the Bulldogs, again, are going to be practicing up to 105 degree weather. They're going to be practicing fairly early. But hey, you know, Boise has a little bit of heat right now. It's 75 degrees currently in Boise. It's going to be 100 degrees in Boise, Idaho. So, hey, it is warm. It is warm over there too, so they're dealing with that. What about a quick look over there to San Diego, California? 83 degrees in San Diego. What about Pullman, Washington? What about Pullman? Pullman, 92 the high. So again, Fresno prepares you a little bit differently, but Boise has a little heat into them as well. We'll take a break. We'll be back. It is the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader, ESPN Fresno, your new home for Fresno State Athletics.
More Valley Rise coming your way on 1430 ESPN Fresno. You're listening to ESPN Fresno, your Central Valley sports leader. It's the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo, weekday morning 6 to 9.
Let's get to some of the sound from fall camp. Again, a big thank you to Phil Bonatti for going out there and getting the audio. But here is defensive edge coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs. Here we go. Talking about the team's defensive line heading. This was day two of fall camp today, day three. So here is part of the scrum.
Coach, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, your defensive line.
Absolutely.
And what it can bring to the table. What are your personal expectations for that unit this year? And could it be even better than last year?
Definitely think it could be better. You know, I think it starts with just, you know, the guys coming together. You know, personally, I just expect them to come together and continue to grow. You know, all summer, we put our work in, you know, on the field. But what I've been most, proud of is just the way the guys have come together, the way that they competed. So just expecting the expectation to rise. You know, we set a standard. Coach Ent says it all the time. You know, you messed up because you raised the standard. So the guys had a great summer, had a great offseason, great spring. So they messed up. They raised the standard. So we just got to keep going and play better.
From your perspective, you know, being someone who coaches, you know, the edge guys and this and that, and looking at the film from last year, what made that Bulldog defense so effective? And did it start up front, you know, and then it kind of worked off of that?
Yeah, I think it all starts up front. I think just, you know, that's our defensive coordinator, Coach Benedetto. You know, I've worked with him since 2017. That's always been his philosophy, man. It starts up front. You know, he lets us wreck shop up front, lets us play a little bit free. The guys behind take care of their responsibilities, you know, so they trust us to be disruptive up front. But we got to pay them back. You know, if they're going to let us play free, then we got to make some plays, you know, so that just put us in the opportunity to be able to make some plays. Guys took advantage of it. So, it starts up front, but our guys behind us, man, they got our back, you know, with the communication, it all works together, but we love being that engine to the defense.
Do you see it kind of freeing up a little bit in year two now of a system under, you know, Coach Benedetto that you can kind of be a little more creative, you can trust the guys a little more, things like that?
Absolutely. You know, coming out of practice one, you know, I didn't even do like our normal install, you know, PowerPoints and all those type of things. I went and watched practice one from last spring ball and said, hey, guys, these are the things that we messed up, you know, last spring. Let's get these things, or in spring ball, let's get these things better today. So now we took that next step. So now it's just about guys, you know, that trust each other. I trust those guys, so they're able to make some of those plays. And if I do see something like, hey, don't do that one, they, we can be able to correct that. They're mature enough to take some of those shots, especially here in practice. This is the opportunity to do it, especially here in day two of practice, man. We got to do that thing right now, take those shots in practice so we can see what we can get away with and what we maybe, hey, that's the one shot we can't take right there because that compromises the whole defense. But if you got an opportunity to make them better, man, just play fast. As long as you play fast and make a decision, declare, we love that.
Coach was complimentary about the D-line performance yesterday. I don't know about today, but I'm sure it was as good, hopefully. Simeon Amos almost even admitted the best position group room. But what do you say about all the compliments that are coming to the defensive line?
I think it's just, you know, we're the mafia. You know, we want to put our imprint out there. You know, that's good to hear. You know, that it's being recognized, you know, by the teammates, because that's where it's most important. You know, your teammates, when they see your work and putting it in and everybody around you, that means a lot. You know, because we want to put our imprint, you know, on this team and really just do our job. It's about doing your 111. So, you know, the compliments are good, but every season it's just the next play mentality, man. Just being that 111th, doing your job. We love that.
And the player led seems to be the theme here.
Yep.
And where are the players leading from your standpoint on this position group?
I think they're just pulling each other, you know, to the side. Like they're coming to each other. They're working and getting extra work in with each other. They're hanging out with each other. You know, our guys are outside of the building. They're with each other all the time. So I think that's where the leadership is really taking a step from not just being, you know, on the field and doing some of the drill work, which was some of the stuff that was happening last year, to now outside of the building, you know, some of that leadership, you know, showing up more outside and the guys getting together. Not that it wasn't happening last year, but I just think that's happening a lot more, and I think it's going to brought us a lot closer.
And bringing it to, obviously, you're less than a month from first game, but how do you amplify the physicality that coach is looking for always, especially from your position group? How do you amplify that over the month here to come?
It starts with fundamentals and technique. You know, I was just about to say, man, it just starts with a mindset, you know, which it kind of does start with a mindset, but you just can't go out there and act wild just to be physical. We got to be good with our fundamentals and techniques. You know, it starts with the feet, bringing your hips, the hands, and all those things. Physicality will come be doing the things that you're trained to do. Whatever we train you to do, that's going to help you be physical. And then flip that switch, man, just be a dude. Beat the guy in the cross from you.
Finn and Jax, what kind of leadership does he bring to your group? And he's undergone quite the physical transformation.
Absolutely.
He's out quite a bit.
Absolutely.
What does that bring to his game?
No, a lead by example type of guy. You know, he was a guy that we challenged when I first got here. You know, I think Jax was a guy who was close to pushing 30% body fat. And it was like, man, we got to change this, you know, over the next couple of years. And he has changed that. So a lead by example type of guy, you know, he will also, you know, he's a guy that will grab the younger guys, you know, especially he wants to pour in, you know, to those younger guys, you know, and rally guys around him. You know, when he sees something off, he's not going to sit off to the side. He's going to go and address it. So he's been a great leader for us that way.
What about Dylan Hamston? What about him made you want to bring him in?
Dylan was just very unique. Like, he was just very active. You know, just had a very active motor, you know, very, you know, similar to Finn Claypool last year, you know, just seen a lot of motor, but was very, not just a pass rush type of guy, man, was very stout, you know, in the run game, was stout, you know, and good in the pass game as well. So he was just very versatile, you know, in what he was doing, just being able to do both, showed the physicality, but then being able to rush the edge as well. And then just bought that motor and juice. You can see it on film.
Is there any guys that in camp have shown you, I mean, maybe during spring ball and fall camp that have made an impact for you?
Noah Ye has done a great job. You know, he's upped it. You know, he got here with us last fall, had a great spring, has continued to have a great summer coming into fall camp. So I think he's a guy that's been stepping out, you know, and stepping up. Maverick Noonan, another guy who came in, you know, in the spring, who's been stepping up and doing some good things. So I think those two guys have really been, you know, up their game, you know, from what I've seen even in the spring ball, coming out here with energy and juice.
Well, you know, there's guys who are kind of coming in last year from fall camp looking to have jobs.
Yep.
Now that there's guys who are here familiar with the job of what this brings in, what does that bring differently to you and what you're seeing? Because the guys are a little more comfortable being here, being with you.
I think now you're coaching the nuances now. You get to take that. You go from the 100 level. We probably got to about the 200 level, mid 200 level. Now you get to the 300, 400 level classes where we're coaching the nuances and the why of why we're doing it. Now we get to dig into the exact why. I think the guys are understanding the why. Now I think that's that next phase where, hey, we're going to give you that why, but they're starting to understand why we do things. I mean, that's just going to make us play better.
From coach. And we continue the defensive line theme as we hear from someone on that defensive line now.
It just feels good to just be able to just show the young guys, just kind of just make it easier on them, just show them, give them a little advice and stuff, and just kind of show them the ways to just make fall camp go by faster and better, and just not make it feel like it's like we have to and that we get to.
Seems like coaches, players are pointing out that this D-line group is setting a tone early. Some complimentary aspects to what you guys are doing right now. What does that make you feel, or are you seeing that work come from your perspective on what the D-line's been doing?
We definitely push each other every day, and we definitely see like the results, but we're definitely not complacent and we're not satisfied, and we know that there's a job to be done and that it starts with us, and that we have to go out there and we have to set the tone every day.
Sim almost admitted it was the best position group based off of what they had. He almost admitted it.
He knows. He knows.
What do you say about this position group and what it has in the room that you have with this D-line?
I would say we're just so close off the field. That just makes us, like, when we're on the field, we work so much harder for each other. We go so much harder for each other because we know the guy next to us is going to go so much harder for us. So then, like, when we hang out, we're just always, if we have a lot of characters, you guys get to meet them and stuff. They're a blast. So, like, we just gel so well and we all mesh well.
Coach Edson kind of admitted he felt like he had to hold on a little tighter last fall based off of what things were kind of going on with the team and making sure the coaches were leading in some aspect. He's letting the reins go a little bit from the senior leadership. Mm-hmm. You're one of those seniors. What do you think about the way the approach is this year with the player-led movement mm-hmm. from coaches?
One thing they preach to us is coach-led teams are good, player-led teams are great. And that's one thing our team has bought into, and we're just continuing to buy into it every day. And it starts with us. They can't play for us. At the end of the day, we're the ones that's putting the pads on. We're the one that's going out there, and we're the one that's going to be on the field, and we're the ones that's got to produce and do what we got to do.
And then we're less than a month from the game against USC. I asked Coach about just amplifying the physicality that this group has to bring. How do you bring that in the next 30-ish days of how to get that physicality up to where it needs to be for that game week one?
Just coming out every day with the same mentality. Just never letting up, always going hard, always pushing each other. And if we see somebody slacking, we're bringing them up. The standard is the standard and always will be, and it increases every day.
Zon, you sort of look like a safety right now, or like an oversized safety, right? Like, tell me about the work you've done on your body and what you're hoping to get out of that.
Oh, yeah. This offseason was a big offseason for me. I cut a lot of weight and stuff, got slimmer and leaned down. So, you know, feel great, feel way more explosive, and just ready to go.
How does that help, you know, defense? Man, we think of you guys being big, you know, uh-huh. and tough, but, like, having that extra level of quickness, how does that help?
You feel so much better out there. You just feel so much faster, and the game is just coming so much slower. And it feels great. It feels great.
Was that done from the end of, like, December till now, or from?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. How'd you do it?
Just buying into, like, our nutritionist and buying into Andy, and just continue, just do the extra work and just make sure I was right on my diet.
You mentioned the personality. You said, hey, you'll get to know him. You got some yeah. fun group. Every time I've interviewed defensive linemen, you guys are always a blast.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a little edge to you, you're fun. Why is it? Why is that position group so much fun? You guys have so much fun together.
We hit our heads a lot. We hit our heads a lot. You know, we're contact every play, so yep, you know. Screws loose, we ready to go. On and popping.
And no, there's never a doubt about confidence level with a D-line.
Nope. Let's do it. You gotta come ready to play. Confidence has to be high, and you have to play high.
All right.
Turnovers were a big part of your guys' defense last year. How do you replicate that going into this season?
Just emphasis in practice, emphasis in ball disruption, in punch outs, rake outs, emphasis in turnovers, making sure we're mirror handing because, you know, tips creates turnovers. Just making sure we're just doing, like, all our right drills, our ball disruption drill every day, and we're just a big emphasis in the, like, in the turnover margin. And just make sure we're just doing all the right things, all the little things, so if the opportunity comes, we're able to make the opportunity.
Is that something you're thinking about during the game, or is it just natural from what you've learned in practice transferring to the game?
It's kind of so, like, they make it so much where it's natural, where it's like, let's get the ball back. Like, we need the ball.
So, what have you learned from your first fall camp to this one?
That you're going to face adversity and that you got to keep on going. You got to just, you know, how would I say it? Chest up, chin out, and basically, like, whatever comes your way, because, you know, injuries, everything, anything can happen. People lose their family members, anything can happen while you're playing the sport. So you just got to kind of just come with the same attitude every day and just kind of just let it all out on the field.
All right, that is the information from fall camp. And, you know, I just ran across some argument on social media that I don't know how it continues to be an argument. I do know that it is someone who portrays himself as a Mountain West, like Pac-12 person, West Coast. I don't care. I truly don't. What irritates me is when people really try to just, you know, go into an engagement farming kind of situation. And what I'm talking about is anyone that is arguing about the Mountain West grant of rights and what they're going to pay their members, I don't know why people are arguing numbers, cents and dollars. Look, very clearly, the sake of argument, okay, for the sake of argument, as we look at it. The Grants of Rights, which was signed by all seven remaining incoming members, binding home broadcast rights to the conference from July 1st, 2026 to June 30th, 2032. These are what the five departing schools owe. So Fresno State, Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Utah State each owed an exit fee that was reportedly originally $18 million each, three times annual distribution, later reported as $20 to $22 million each. One filing cited a range from $19 to $38 million per school. Now, separate to that, there is the Pac-12 itself owing the Mountain West a $55 million poaching fee, as well as in the scheduling agreement, $10 million for the first team, $500,000 additional per additional team capped at $55 million. The combined stake here is $155 million. It's $100 million in exit fees and $55 million in poaching fees. Now, again, they settled. They had an agreement in principle in May 1819, and they just got it done here just in the past couple of days. Now, it's been argued that this usually does about 55 cents on the dollar. That would mean $82.5 million total if it lands at the 55 cents on the dollar. So UNLV would be roughly getting about $20 million of that. So this is how the distribution, which is back to the grant of rights, and is why when people don't look this up and read things, is when others are able to make arguments about things that they know what they're arguing, and they know they're having a bad faith argument. And it is Air Force and UNLV are not guaranteed a certain dollar amount. What they're guaranteed is a certain percentage of the portion. So Air Force and UNLV will get 24.5% each of the first $61 million. Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Wyoming will get 11.5% each, and Hawaii will have 5% each. The next $18 million will be held in reserve for onboarding new members, and UNLV then gets 25.5% of the next $21 million collected. So, if we're looking at it from this perspective, what we're looking at is there is no figure whatsoever guaranteed. What we know is if this actually hits on that 55 cents on the dollar mark, and it leads to a very, very lower estimate, which would then be $82.5 million, that means that from that $82.5 million that UNLV and Air Force will get 24.5% of that first $61 million. So 82.5 total of the 61 of 82.5, UNLV and Air Force get almost 25%. So almost half of it goes directly to them. Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Wyoming, well, yeah, they get 11.5% of that. And Hawaii gets 5. So then what is left over from that, $18 million left on the for onboarding, and the rest of the $20 million goes 25.5% to UNLV. That's how the grant of rights would work. So when Gloria, the commissioner of the Mountain West, when she comes out and says, we are going to pay the grant of rights, we're going to satisfy the grant of rights, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not a direct quote, but I'm satisfying the grant of rights. What they are saying is they're going to pay the 24.5%, the 11.5%, and the 5%, and then the $18 million, and then the rest of that percentage, if there is any, of 24.5% to UNLV. That's the truth. That's the reality. So, yes, great. You're going to satisfy the grant of rights. It does not mean that you are getting paid every ounce of what you were looking for. What it means is that you're getting a 55 cents, 50, 45 cents on the dollar. I think Pac-12 wins if it's 55 cents on the dollar. It is what it is. You move on, you pay it, and you move forward. Anything less than that, the Pac-12 absolutely ran away with the deal. Anything more than that, the Mountain West ran away with the deal. But right now, we're living in a sourced world of, well, I think this is how much it's going to be. I think they're going to get that. No one knows. No one knows. The only people that know are handling the situation, and those really tight to them. Are there some sources out there that, yeah, probably have given some sort of decent information on this? Yeah. But I don't think anyone's been given a very firm, firm part of the conversation to say, this is how we're going to do it. I don't believe so. Well, all right. We'll take a break. We will be back. I appreciate you for listening and being part of the discussion. Gonzo, G-O-N-Z-O, at 1430ESPNFresno.com. That's at my email. I won't read your emails on the air. I do read your emails personally. I will respond to your emails, every single one, if you do. So if you want to, Gonzo at 1430ESPNFresno.com. I appreciate all of you that already do shoot me emails, and we respond back and forth. You can also follow me on social media at Gonzo's Takes, G-O-N-Z-O-S-T-A-K-E-S. That's it. Gonzo's Takes. You can follow me on X as well, and follow along. Appreciate you. Take a break. We'll be back. You are listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on ESPN Fresno.
It's the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on ESPN Fresno.
The Valley Rise Show on ESPN Fresno. Tomorrow, Friday, it is, it's going to be a hot one. 107 tomorrow, 110, 111 over the weekend. So make sure you are being cautious out there. Being smart out there as well. And let's do a double look here to make sure we're not missing any breaking news. From earlier this morning, again, some of the last things here is the Colts have signed an extension, a couple of year extension with the Indianapolis Colts. Jonathan Taylor, and it makes him one of the higher paid running backs in the NFL. You also have a Hall of Fame game going on tonight, the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get rolling and going as they take on the Carolina Panthers. This is Carson Beck, who is making his NFL debut, and Kenny Pickens, who starts his fifth, who makes his start for his fifth team in 4 years. And the NFL preseason has arrived. The scheduled kickoff for Thursday night will be back in the Arizona Cardinals taking on Pickett and the Carolina Panthers in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. The preseason, obviously an opportunity for rookies, for backups and those players fighting for roster spots to get their best opportunity. Beck saying, quote, "I had no clue I was going to start. Obviously, I thought I was going to play, but I really didn't have any expectations going into any of this. Obviously, our schedule is absolutely crazy right now, practice meetings, but I'm looking forward to it," end quote. Beck, who was a key fixture in leading the Hurricanes to a national championship matchup against Indiana, Beck saying, quote, "I think the last time I was nervous was maybe when I was 8 years old for our city championship in Pop Warner. It's a game at the end of the day. It's an opportunity to go out there, have fun with teammates, and play the game I love. It's what I love doing," end quote. Pickett, who was a first-round pick for the Steelers in 2022, has led Pittsburgh or led Pittsburgh to a 14-10 record in his two seasons, has bounced around in the league since, was with the Eagles before they traded him to Cleveland last year. The Browns sent him to the Raiders during training camp, and he started two games for Las Vegas last season. The Panthers signed Pickett to back up Bryce Young, and Pickett saying, quote, "I just want to go out there and operate at a high level. All the hard work that we're putting in practice, you want to see come to life on game day, and that's everyone just doing their job and executing," end quote. Carolina, who the NFC South last season had an 8-9 record, but Carolina led the 12-win Rams in the final minutes of their wildcard playoff game before Matthew Stafford threw that 19-yard touchdown pass to Colby Parkinson with 38 seconds left for a 34-31 victory. The Panthers have been getting after each other in practice, as Dave Canales, the head coach, says is looking forward to seeing his team hit an opponent, saying, quote, "Tempers are flaring a little bit, and I just have to remind them none of that helps us. It throws us out of rhythm of practice." Yeah, practice. That's what we're talking about. So tonight, it's officially football season. And the preseason is completely getting underway. And so there you go on that front. And as we continue to get you ready for the upcoming season, Tom Brady has been urging the Raiders to sit Fernando Mendoza until he is ready. He has been pretty key in the conversations for having Fernando Mendoza not start the season as the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. And what would some, and this is what Clint Kubiak said on Fernando Mendoza, saying, he says, "Right now Mendoza's job is to learn and improve during training camp. According to Adam Hill of Las Vegas Journal Review, Mendoza put together a bounce-back performance on Monday after an uneven Sunday. After the session, head coach Clint Kubiak told reporters that Mendoza will continue to face adversity as camp continues, saying, quote, "There are 60 to 80 plays in a game, and there's going to be ups and downs. What quarterback can get the rest of the other 10 players playing at their best? So that's what we're looking for. There will never be a perfect game or a perfect practice, but I think he's doing a good job. I don't expect him to be perfect right now." End quote. That is Clint Kubiak, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, talking about Fernando Mendoza. So, excuse me. So there you go on the Fernando and any. Let me make sure I had another note here on the Las Vegas Raiders, and it was this: the Raiders have come into training camp with a young group of running back, and the Raiders have been looking at veteran running backs. They finally announced it, and they go out and sign. A 32-year-old running back is 6 years older than the next oldest running back on the roster. Definitely not a big name. Agubuye, and as he only has 594 career rushing yards. However, that didn't stop him from sticking with the Texans for the last four seasons. And he isn't challenging Ashton Jeanty for many carries, but what he is doing, or what he does bring to a team, is a good blocking. He blocks well out of the backfield, and he also plays special teams, which is a huge plus. Make sure you're paying attention to Ashton Jeanty for this season. But a writer wrote, quote, "It's hard to view his rookie season as anything other than a major disappointment. He rushed for 975 yards, caught only 55 passes for 346 yards after being drafted number 6 overall. And now, all of it can be chalked up to the Raiders being so awful. The defense is new to key in on Jeanty. He simply struggled much more than anyone thought he would. The Raiders might not be much better this season, but Jeanty will at least have an improved offensive line. Tyler Linderbaum Pro Bowl center now with the team. Las Vegas has a few more weapons this year as well, and new head coach Clint Kubiak, who has a history of doing a great job with offensive systems. So, all right, there you go. Again, just giving you guys a quick little reminder here. Today, make sure you're tuning in over there on 790 ESPN in just a few moments. Coming up here at 9 o'clock, it's the pregame. 9:40 is the first pitch here, and you'll be able to listen to that over there on 790 ESPN. Coming up next, it is the Rich Eisen Show, and then at 2 o'clock, it's Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour with the man Tony D. And at 3 o'clock, it is Home Field Advantage it's Phil Bonatti with Behind the Bench. I was looking at something else here in front of me. It's Phil Bonatti Behind the Bench. He is live from Fashion Furniture today. Make sure you are out there. Phil Bonatti will have the pizzas. Well, you know, he's going to have the food there. He just needs you there. And it's all at Fashion Furniture because, as we like to say it, there's nothing else like it in all of California. All right, I'll talk to you mañana. It's Friday tomorrow. Let's have some fun. I'll talk to you then. You've been listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader. Until next time.